I'd like to invite you this evening to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 reads this way. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people and in your church, and knowing, Lord, that it is your heart's desire to build your church to your honor and glory. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing this evening. We do ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit. We do pray, Lord, that you would open up our understanding to see and hear from you. Lord, that you would be honored and glorified ultimately in and through our lives as you desire to. And then, Lord, that we might truly be the witnesses of your great grace that you give to our lives, Lord, and place in our hearts and minds, that we might truly be the witnesses to a lost and dying world. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's a long title, isn't it? The short of it is, it's like this: God's supply for the believer. God's supply for the believer. Now, we want to just take a look just for a moment here in verse 19 and get three quick thoughts about how we can have our needs met and really what they are according to God. See, sometimes we think we have needs, amen, but they may not be what God sees. See, we think we have some needs that we have, and I would dare say the needs that we have here in the United States are different from the needs that people have in third world countries where they don't even know where their next meal's coming from. See, when we put the right perspective on it, needs vary, don't they? But there are needs that God says that we have that he wants to supply, and so we'll take note of that here. First, I just wanted three quick thoughts. As we consider our text, we want to take note that God is not mentioning some or most of our needs, but how many? He said all of our needs. Secondly, we want to take notice that the supply of our needs come from according to his riches and glory in our text, right? According to his riches and glory. Can you surpass the riches of God's glory? Can anybody surpass the riches of God's glory? And of course, the answer is no. So this portion of our text reveals that God's eternal supply in glory is limitless. And we thank the Lord for that. And then thirdly, we want to take notice in our verse here, in our text verse, that God has revealed the mode or the way these blessings come to us, and that is by Christ Jesus. That's how they come to us, by the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we want to consider three spiritual truths that empower God's people. God wants his people to be empowered. That was the purpose of him coming. He did come to save us, to give us eternal life, but then to make an impact and to impress the world of his great grace that he's given to us. And so we want to consider three spiritual truths, again, that empower the Lord's people. And that is how the God of peace is with us and working in us. And then secondly, we want to take notice of the things that are learned and received, enable the believer to do all things through Christ. And then lastly, examples of God's supply to the believer. So back up with me, if you will, and let's consider verse 5. And look at how God's peace is with us, working in us. Verse 5 says this: "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So this is how God's peace really works in and through the believer. Verse 7: "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Stop and just think about verse 7 just for a moment. That the peace of God, not the peace of the world, not our peace that we can fabricate, but his peace, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So stop and think about this. Did Paul go through some trials? By the way, he's the writer of this letter, right, by the Holy Spirit. Paul went through some difficult times, and he experienced the peace of God when there was no peace. Now, let me try to explain something here. It's not that we don't feel these things. There are some people, you know, that they walk on coals, right? This is not what the Lord's talking about. And that, I believe, is really demonically done there. But when we talk about the peace of God, that doesn't mean that we don't feel what we're going through, whatever it might be.
But he gives us the faith to realize that we are in his hands even through those difficult times. And that gives us peace. We don't get caught up in the moment. It's not that we don't feel it emotionally, but we do realize that God holds us in his hands and we can hold on to his peace. So with that said, when we have this peace, that's the way that really verses 1 and 4 work in our lives. Look at verse 1. He says in chapter 4, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown," listen, "so stand fast in the Lord." That's how we're to stand fast. We're not supposed to stand fast in the Lord, and that means unmovable when we're standing fast in the Lord by our own grit, by our own determination. That's not the way that we stand. The way that we stand is by God's peace being given to us. And he says, "So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Drop down to verse 4. This is how we also fulfill this verse. "Rejoice in the Lord always." That means all the time. That means when you go through these trials, know that the Lord holds us in his hands. That's the faith part. That's the trust part. Lord, will God ever let us go? He won't let us go. And so if we know the Lord is holding on to us, we can rejoice. Is heaven our destination as a child of God? Will that ever change? No, and that will come to fruition. We'll see that take place for eternity. Amen. You know, 10,000 years, 10 million years. What is time and eternity? There is no time anymore. We are creatures of the clock, and that's a hard concept, really, to understand. But he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." So with that said, look at verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely," he says, "whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." These are the things that we're to be meditating on. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So this is how the God of peace is with us and working in us, by us placing our trust in the Lord that he holds us in his hands, and by us looking towards the things that God says to think about. Don't think about the things that are death. Don't think about what the world thinks about. Lord, that's right away we know, the Holy Spirit tells us, when we say this to God, "Lord, today is your day in my life." Amen? And every day ought to be the Lord's day in our life. You purchased me with the price of eternal life through your Son, the blood of Christ. And so, Lord, this day belongs to who? God. Belongs to the Lord. Tomorrow belongs to who? The Lord. And every day belongs to the Lord. If we try to save our life, the Bible tells us we'll lose it. But if we lose our lives for his sake, we'll have it, won't we? In other words, Lord, you know what that's really, in one word, that's trust. I trust you, Lord, with my life. He's given us his. So, Lord, I trust you with my life. We need to conscientiously, as an individual believer, not just collectively, yes, that's a good idea. No, I need to tomorrow. I do. I need to tomorrow say, "Lord, this day belongs to you. I want you to guide me." See, we say, "Oh, brother, listen, I can't. Have you asked the Lord? When was the last time, and I hope it was today, when was the last time you asked the Lord, "Lord, I need you to guide me in this day"? It's not hard. Is that hard? "Lord, I need you today. Because if not, I'll go my own way. And so, Lord, I need you to guide me into your paths of righteousness." Amen? If you ask the Lord, so many times people say, "Well, I can't, and they don't even ask God. They're not, "I can't do it." Get your eyes off I and look to the Lord and say, "God, I need you." The Lord knows we can't do it. The Lord knows our frailty. We are frail. We think we're strong, right? We think we're really strong, right? I'm reminded, Muhammad Ali, right? Remember him? Cassius Clay, Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston, he's famous, not in a good way. He was in jail here at Jeff City. And some priest or something got a hold of him, and he was a thug. But anyway, he got into boxing, and he became the world champ. And then all of a sudden, you know, Cassius Clay, young fella, in his early 20s, I think he was, knocked him out. And won the title. And he all of a sudden started saying something that he thought was true that wasn't true. Remember what he started saying? I am the greatest. No, he wasn't. No, he was maybe in boxing, but he thought too much of himself. And one time he was taking an airplane ride, and the stewardess came by and said, Mr. Ali, you need to put on your seatbelt. And he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she said to him, Superman don't need no airplane either. Put on your seatbelt. Amen. So he thought more of himself. Now here's the sad shame, and that was within a short 25 or 30 years, he was still boxing. He was getting the dementia, the Alzheimer's, or whatever it was that he dealt with. How short he became so feeble in such a short time. He became so feeble. We are frail. We are frail. And we need the Lord in a mighty way. He didn't think he needed the Lord. He thought he was invincible. A lot of people go to their grave thinking they're invincible only to meet an invincible God. And that's really a crying shame. But wait, what about those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is God invincible in our lives? He ought to be. He paid the price to be. All we have to do is call upon him to do that. Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to fulfill your will and lead me into your paths. And he will. He can change. Does the Bible say that he can change the hearts of kings? It does say that. What is your heart? What is your heart? It's what you think. It's what you think. Can God change our thinking to good things? Obviously, he can. Didn't he change your mind about eternal life? Didn't he change your mind to see that you needed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If he could change your mind to help you see that, he can change our minds to meditate on right things and to enjoy and to see the sinfulness of the things that bring destruction. And we say, oh, I don't want that in my life. That dishonors my God. It doesn't really satisfy. God can take the temporary joy of the world away from us. How about Moses? Did he have all the things of this world and he forsook all those things because he said it was a temporary pleasure? For he turned that in for the eternal glories of God. He said, I'll take that over the pleasures of the world that are very temporal indeed. And so we find that God, the God who wants to give us his peace, is working that and will work that in our lives if we'll just simply ask him. Now, consider this. And this is the second thought. Things learned and received enable the believer to do all things through Christ. Listen. Things learned and received. See, when we get saved, here's what we learned, that we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's all we know. The disciples, they knew that, didn't they? They trusted the Lord. They knew he was the Messiah. Question, did they have just a little bit more to learn? After they started walking with the Lord, or a lot more? They had a lot more to learn. And here's a good part. Was it God's desire to teach them? Was he wanting them to learn? Listen, our God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does God know that we need to learn from him? Does he desire to teach us? Do you know all we have to do is say, Lord, I want you to teach me? We over-engineer things. We overwork things. We don't need to. We just need to trust the Lord and use what he's given to us. I'll give you a little illustration here. My son and I, out of pallet wood, built a chicken coop. And the chicken coop, we're learning, right? We don't really know how to do this. We put it together. It works. It's functional. Works fine. But we made the roosting bars about probably 3 foot from the ground. And you'd hear those chickens, thump, 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 when they were getting off the roost to come out of the coop. Well, one of them injured their legs. And so we thought, well, this is not a good idea. So I took the time to figure out a way from the roosting bar to build this little ladder so that they can just climb down the ladder. And they wouldn't do it. So I thought, well, maybe the decline is too steep. So I put up another board and lifted it up so it wasn't, and my goodness, it was such a slow, a very small, decline there that they could have easily walked down it. They still don't do it. Boom, boom, boom. They take a risk of injuring their legs. And that's because as little chickens, that's what they learn to do. Do you know it is so hard to get out of our ruts if we just look to ourselves? But do you know, I got scratched up trying to pick up one of those crazy chickens and say, no, this is where you're supposed to walk. This is where you're supposed to walk. Okay, I'm done. They scratched me. And I said, okay, I don't know what to say anymore. And so God, listen, are we smarter than chickens? Maybe, amen. Listen, we ought to be smarter than chickens and say, look, if it's not working the right way, there's a problem, because God's way is the best way and there's no problem with His way. And so, Lord, help me to do it Your way and not my way, because that's where I'm going to be blessed and that's where I'm going to be spared from myself. Amen. We are our own greatest hindrance in the work of God in our lives. And so may we bring that before the Lord. But let's consider this. Things learned and received enable the believer to do all things through Christ. Now, I want you to know that the Apostle Paul, other than being called the Apostle Paul, God does not see you or I any different. He loves, what I'm trying to say is, God loves us as much as He loved the Apostle Paul. God wants to bless us as much as He blessed the Apostle Paul. We don't have the position of apostleship, I understand that, but God wants to be actively involved in your life and mine as He was actively involved. Paul said, you've got the same grace. That means you've got the same relationship. That means, Paul said, you know what? There's a crown laid up for me and also for all those who love the Lord. Amen? And so all are on board with this. So look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received. So this is the important part. We have to learn and receive and heard and seen in me do. Listen, and the God of peace shall be with you. So he says, those things, you learn them, but you can, by learning them, you're just hearing them. But when you receive them, that means I'm going to put this into action. So I hope you learned or were reminded that if we'll ask God to perform that which He never intended for you and me to perform in our own strength, if we'll ask God to do that, we bring God on board. We welcome Him. And by faith, we trust that He's going to do it. Listen, you don't have to pray it through. You don't have to have some kind of special series of prayer meetings. You just need to believe what God's already promised. He's not asking us to do anything than what He's already given to us. So again, look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me flourish. And again, he says, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. Listen to what Paul says. For I have what? I have learned. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. When you learn something, that means you don't know it until you learn it. Paul had to learn this. It didn't come automatic to him. There were things that he, there are many things that we have to learn. And the way that we learn that is when we hear it, we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to receive that and walk in that truth. So he says, again, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Walk. You know what Paul is saying? What you have seen in me is for you too. Walk this way also. Don't do it in your own strength. You're going to come to the end of yourself. And that's where God will let us go in order to turn to Him. And then verse 10 again, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein, notice, you were also careful, but that you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. Paul is now going to explain to us what he learned. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Really? Do you believe what Paul just said there? It's in the Word of God. Is that the truth? Can you and I learn by the grace of God how to be content? Even when things aren't going our way, can we walk in His peace? Even though we might be affected by some things in life, can we still have His peace? We can. We can have His peace. Have you ever gone through something and thought, this should be a whole lot worse than what I thought it was going to be? And yet God provides His peace. Or maybe you go through something and then you look back and you say, I'm seeing God's peace. I am seeing, you know, the Lord's supply. And sometimes we don't see it right at first. I'll never forget. You know, do you remember Brother Wyatt Otten that came and preached revival for us, blonde-haired fellow? Yeah, me and I taught that little stinker since when he was 11 or 12 years old. He's in his 40s now, pastoring a church. Remember, he came here and did revival for us. And he had a hard trial that I cannot imagine. And he had a little boy, wasn't a little boy, that I don't remember what the illness was, but and he told he was born with a heart defect, and he died. He died. I don't know how old he was. Very young, a couple of years at the most.
Months old.
Okay, months old. And he told me I was beside myself. He said I didn't know where the Lord was at that moment. That's what he said. And then he said to me, but we had the funeral, and I think they had a reception at the house for the family and friends that came. And he's got a big family, and there a lot of them are in church. He grew up with them in church. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, here I am. And he would see a person that would come up and tell them that they loved him and encouraged him, family members and church members. And the Lord would say to him, listen, I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that for him. But God, listen, I'm telling you what he told me. God showed me that he was right there in all of these people. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto who?
Amen.
You've done it unto the Lord. And so God allowed him. You know why? Because here's what he said. Here's what he said. He was hurt. Here's what he said. Lord, why? And where are you? And he said, I'm here. And he said he confirmed and assured him in his heart that his son was with him in glory. Amen? And that he saw the presence of the Lord, had never left him, had never forsaken him. He felt alone for a little while. He felt badly hurt. But God brought him through that as he looked to him. He's been through a lot. He lost his dad like a few years before I met him, maybe a year or two, maybe the year before. His dad was coming home from work, and some lady had a flat tire, or I don't know if it was a lady or a man had a flat tire, and he stopped to help them with the flat tire and got hit by a car on the side of the road and killed him. He's been through a lot. You know, I can't imagine that. And look how the Lord is using him. You know why that's happening? Where are his eyes at? You can't be on yourself. If we keep our eyes on ourselves, we will never succeed for the Lord, because that's not where the Lord's power is at. It's in us, but it's through him. It'll never be in and by ourselves. So notice what he says. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. See, we have to go through things to learn. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know, we should really be content with the easier things. We really should. A hard day, when things don't work right. God's not left us or forsaken us. Sometimes we make too big of other things. You know, we can't forgive other people. We can't be kind to other people if we're looking to ourselves. If we're looking to ourselves, we will be easily offended. We will. And the glory of God won't work through us. But if we're yielded to the Lord and seeing, Lord, you've allowed this into my life for your glory. Lord, may I not try to defend myself. That's the natural thing to do. Somebody does something wrong, we want to explain and defend ourselves. And God doesn't need us to do that. So he says, verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere, listen, everywhere, that means all circumstances and situations. In all things, that means in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. God teaches us that. He says, this is what I've learned. And then he says this, the context here in verse 13. Now he says, because of where his focus is at, I can do all things, not most, but all things through Christ Jesus. Why? He strengthens me, which strengtheneth me. See, what does God strengthen us to do? To get our way and to get our will? Or to submit to him and to allow him to glorify himself through us and to use us for his honor and glory and to walk in the light because he's in the light. And the light of God is kindness and gentleness. We can't do that by ourselves. We can maybe fake it for a little while. We won't get very far with it. And here's the thing. You and I don't know what we need in the next hour, do we? We don't know. We don't know. But as we yield ourselves to the Lord, you know, the Bible says that the fruit of God is singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit. You know why? Because as we abide in Christ, Christ bears everything that we need. We don't know if we need long-suffering. We don't know if we need gentleness. We don't know if we need love. We don't know what we need. But God does. And if we'll just seek Him and say, Lord, I need You, or I will do things my way. I will tell you, that's what I will do. I will try to defend myself. I will try to justify myself. And God won't be anywhere in that. But as we yield to the Lord, He will show us the right way. And then He says, again, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, He says, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. You were involved. Now, here are the last thought here, the examples of God's supply to the believer. So he says, you didn't have the way, but you know what? You communicated with my affliction. You fellowshiped with me in my hardship. Your heart went out to me. And you know what he's saying? He is acknowledging that they are tapped into the Lord. That's how that works. See, they didn't know what Paul needed, but they did communicate with him, didn't they? We don't listen. When we are part of the body of Christ, I don't know that the church really understands the body of Christ the way that God wants us to see it. Your body does what the head wants it to do, does it not? Wouldn't it be crazy if it didn't? If your hand just decided to do some crazy thing all by itself, you'd be out of control. And God wants us to realize that every part of the body is significant. Do you know, listen, the hand cannot see, but the hand can see through the eye. In other words, my eye sees what I want to pick up. My head, with my eye, is telling my hand. So my hand, it can't really see, but it can see to grab what I want it to grab, to do what I want it to do. The unification of the body is so important to be in unison with Christ, the head. We can't just be going off doing... God has a specific will, but if the body is doing all kinds of crazy things over here and there and over there, it's out of control because it's not under the authority of the head. And that head is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is saying, this is what I want for the body. This is how I want the body to function. And so it's important for us as church members in the body of Christ to figure out, Lord, I need to yield to you. You don't have to figure out exactly, you know, am I the hand, am I the foot? We just need to be yielded to the Lord, and He will work through us, because the whole body is not the eyeball. The whole body is not an ear. The whole body works together for the glory of God as we submit ourselves and trust the Lord, and then the church is empowered. God sets it on fire. And then you and me go out into our world, the people that we communicate with and touch throughout the day with the Spirit of God. And if we're minded with the mind of Christ, we'll be concerned about them to, you know, really, I tell you, and please don't feel bad about this, to just hand out one tract a week. But I think the more you yield to the Lord, you'll see every lost soul with a need of eternal life. We are their witnesses. If not us, who? There is nobody else. There is nobody else. So it's important. Is it uncomfortable? Is it embarrassing? Maybe some. When I say embarrassing, awkward maybe would be a better word. I will tell you, there are times that I feel awkward. There have been times that I have witnessed to people that I thought, just by their appearance, forgive me. But sometimes I'm intimidated by people, by their appearance. They look rough. I don't know how they're going to react. I don't want to get yelled at. Do you? I don't want to get cussed out. I don't. But something more important than me is their eternal soul. And so, you know, I'll hand out a tract. And you know what? It amazes me. 90% plus, maybe 99% of the time, they will say thank you. And I'll walk away saying, thank you, Lord, because you know what I was expecting. I was expecting for them to reject it, to get mad at me. You know, I had somebody leave a nasty phone message here at Northwood Baptist Church about leaving a track on their door. Not recently. And they said they had foul language. And you know what I thought, really? You know what I thought? At first I was like, well. And then I said, wait a minute. They're ones for whom Christ died and they don't even know what they're rejecting. They're rejecting eternal life. And you know what? If he didn't leave his name or number, but our phone number is on the track. But they were saying, I don't want to hear anything about the Lord. But there's one thing that's going to be true in heaven. His blood will not be on our hands. Because he got the word of God. But what if we live life and never tell anybody? Do you think maybe there'll be a reckoning day for us? Because we neglected to be the watchmen that God has called us to be and to warn people about their eternal life. And by the way, listen, I'm not trying to guilt you at all into serving the Lord, but he paid an unbelievable price and we are his. And I'm not asking you ought to up that to 10 tracks a week. I'm not asking you to do that. All I'm saying is, as believers, we ought to be seeking God to lead us in his way. Listen, I don't want to play on your emotions. I don't want to get you emotional, although our emotions will be involved. What I really believe the Word of God is saying, if we'll seek him, he will guide us in what he wants us to do. We will be pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be able to say to us, give them a track. Give them a track. Amen? And maybe you'll have a conversation, maybe you won't. If you got rejected for the cause of Christ, wouldn't it still be a blessing? Because at least we tried. And when they stand before the Lord, they will see that somebody tried. And so that's what the body of Christ is all about, being pliable in the hands of God. Being usable for the glory of God. And so Paul says, I want you to know that I'm thankful. Notice verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. There was some kind of a monetary, physical need supplied by them. And now listen to what he says now. This is the important part. This is what we hear all the time, but if we're not careful, we miss what the Lord is saying to us. They gave of their necessity, didn't they? They gave. They saw something. They were led by the Lord. They didn't just have a warm, fuzzy feeling. God was involved because of the love that they were showing, because of the desire to walk with the Lord. And then he says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know what our greatest need is? Our greatest need is to be yielded to the will of God. Because then God can lead us to do what he wants us to do. Our greatest need, Lord, overcome the sin that besets me. He's promised to do that, to give us victory. Lord, make me a holy people for your honor and glory, a royal priesthood. Do that with me. I believe. And how often should we do that? Every day. Lord, I need you. Do that work in me. And that's where it all begins. And then from there, whatever part of the body of Christ you are, you will be able to help other believers in the church, encourage them. You'll be able to be the light of the world that God has called us to be. And then, listen, it's not a drudgery when we're going through the day and you're communicating with the Lord. I hope you do that in your heart and mind. You communicate with the Lord. Lord, I need you today. It is so easy for him to say, that's one you need to talk to. That's one you need to give the gospel to. Amen. Through by way of track. That's one that you need to say. And you know, the responses surprise me all the time. Listen, I'd like to give you something. We were out door knocking this last Thursday. I was telling Brother Roger and Brother John, there was a guy, the garage, and I'm going to finish with this. The garage door was open. He was having a heated conversation? He was having a heated conversation. I thought what I would do is I'm getting out of the vehicle, right? And I'm seeing that. I'll just go to the front door. In fact, I didn't see him at first as I was going up, but I did see him. I heard him. That's what happened. I heard him as I was going to the front door. And as I was going to the front door, this big truck pulled up with a big trailer, and there were two young fellas in their mid-20s, maybe late 30s there. And they were doing some work there at this house. And anyway, I was going to knock on the door, and I heard this guy come out, and I'm hearing this heated conversation. And I come around to the front of the garage there, and he sees me, and he goes, he's waving his hand, no, and he's hollering, and I really believe it was of the Lord. I just said, I'm just out giving invitations. So he put out his hand, and I put that track in his hand and turned away. One of the young fellows was leaning on the trailer waiting for this guy to get off the phone, and I said, hey, I want to give you an invitation to my church, And here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Do you know he picked up that track? He was sitting there and he opened it up and started reading it. I would have never thought that. But see, it was really easy. Listen, I don't even know what made me pull out a track to that guy who was hollering on the phone to some. And I will tell you, because I heard a girl's name. It was a woman. It was a lady that he was all put out with. I don't know over what, but he was put out. And in the midst of that whole heated situation, he was waving me away. I just told him, I'm just handing out invitations, pulled up a track, and he put his hand out. That was of the Lord. And I walked away feeling so good that God showed me another one that needed the gospel. And did I plan that? I didn't plan that. But God ordained to use all of us for his glory. But it begins, it ought to, I mean, we should hand out the tracts, but it ought to come from the Spirit of God. Amen. I don't know what made my hand go in my pocket and pull one out. If I was in my mind, I'd have said, this guy doesn't want his tract for me. He's waving me away. And I don't know what possessed me to pull out a tract. Well, I do know, don't I? Amen. I do know. And then he put out his hand. But listen, somebody tried to reach him with the gospel. And the only way that God will ever get the glory is if we recognize this truth, and that is that God supplies every need we have to glorify him in our personal walk with him, in our convictions for the Lord, in what he wants us to enjoy, and the things to stay away from that he does not want us to get into. It's all for the glory of God, and all we have to do is ask. Amen? Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your guidance. Lord, we thank you for your desire to teach your people your ways. Lord, we need you in such a mighty way. We don't know how to come and go. We don't know how to go out, come in. We need you, Lord. Because your ways are not our ways, but you will show us your ways as we call upon you and seek you. May we look to you. May we not lean to our own understanding, but may we acknowledge you in all of our ways. Bless your people. Bless Northwood, Lord. And we do ask that you bless all your churches and all your missionaries. Speak to our hearts and minds and guide us into your truths. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.